From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. We'll have open lines for you this hour. I'll give you the numbers in just a moment. We are changing our program tonight. Let me tell you why. We are tracking a very sad and tragic story this evening. New York State police are saying that a 50-seat commuter plane has crashed into a home in suburban Buffalo. Fire officials say there apparently are no survivors. Not exactly clear how many people on board the plane. The FAA is reporting 44 people may have been aboard. The Buffalo News reports 49 people were killed in the crash. A state trooper says the plane hit a house about 20 miles northeast of Buffalo late tonight. Flames erupted from the remnants of the house and aircraft as firefighters sought to control the blaze. Continental Airlines Flight 3407 was going from Newark, New Jersey to Buffalo when it crashed. And of course, the reason we are changing tonight's program is because it just is not appropriate to do what we're going to do. We have a very special guest, very compelling show on spontaneous human combustion. We will do that at another date. So just understand that. High winds felled trees onto power lines from Ohio to New York, leaving by Thursday afternoon more than 600,000 customers without electricity. I do not know if high winds had anything to do with this tragic plane crash in New York. Ohio was the hardest hit out there. Power expected to be restored there by Friday. Utilities were also affected in West Virginia, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, New York, Maryland, Virginia, and Indiana. The winds were just very, very strong. Hazardous comets and asteroids are tracked by various space agencies, but British-based astronomers say there are many dangerous ones that are still going undetected. Previous research suggests that comets nudge into Earth's direction when the solar system periodically passes through the galactic plane. Those comets appear to coincide with the dates of ancient impact craters found on Earth, suggesting they were caused by comets, not asteroids. Bill Napier at Cardiff University says there is a case to be made that dark, dormant comets are a significant but largely unseen hazard. Since the water's gone, they don't reflect light, making it hard for astronomers to see them until they're right on top of us. Well, that's something else for us to worry about, I guess. The Texas Department of State Health Services has ordered the recall of every product ever shipped from the Peanut Corporation of America's plant in Plainview, Texas, after discovering dead rodents, rodent excrement, and bird feathers in the plant. The order, which applies to products shipped since the plant opened nearly 4 years ago, came a day after the discovery of a filth in a crawl space above a production area during a health services inspection. The company's peanut butter and peanut paste products produced at its plant in Georgia have been linked to a nationwide outbreak of salmonella poisoning that has affected 600 people and may have killed 9 others. Back in New York, a van traveled for nearly an hour over busy New York City roads before its driver discovered the horrific cargo it had dragged almost 20 miles. The partially scraped away body of a man who was plowed over by an SUV just before he got caught under the van. Police said the gruesome episode was accidental and that they have no plans to charge the drivers at this time. Vaccines aren't to blame for autism, according to a special federal court. They declared this in a blow to thousands of families hoping to win compensation and to many more who are convinced of a connection. The special masters who decided the case expressed sympathy for the families, some of whom have made emotional pleas describing their children's conditions, but the rulings were blunt. There's little, if any, evidence to support claims of a vaccine autism link. Dr. Leonard Horowitz, the international known authority in public health education, does not agree with that decision. Len, this thing outrages you, doesn't it?
Horrible. Absolutely. It's really sad that we have to deal with such hypocrisy in not just the judiciary system, but in our scientific arena.
This decision by these masters, they call them, of the special federal court, as they were looking at the possible link of these vaccines with autism, you and a number of other doctors believe that there is indeed a link. How come?
Because they've buried the data. You know, George, everybody can Google for free a CDC program that's up on YouTube right now. CDC's Vaccination Genocide, it's called. And in it, there's a document that I show you on a video that I received when I was testifying briefly before the United States Congress many years ago that was advanced to me by the class action attorneys involved in this kind of case. And it was a government study that has been suppressed. You can see it's classified. It's basically confidential. It's marked do not copy, do not distribute. And in it, the scientists that currently are claiming that there's no evidence whatsoever are completely overlooking the blue ribbon panel of experts that the CDC and the officials had actually paid lots of U.S. taxpayer money to and came out with the statistically significant correlations between as the thimerosal mercury intoxication increases, so does neurological impairments, behavioral disorders, suicidal tendencies, depression, all of the issues that our children sadly are facing today.
Len, I want people to follow what you do. Please give me your website.
Yes, the DrLenHorowitz.com, that's DrLenHorowitz.com, and I would highly encourage people also to look at the vaccine alternatives, stop the intoxication of our children, go to OxySilver.com. That's a product that's been suppressed likewise.
All right, thank you, Len. More than 5,500 claims filed by families seeking compensation through the government's vaccine injury compensation program, they were dealt the blow in this ruling. Millions of workers would soon see an extra $13 in your weekly paychecks. I wonder what you're going to do with that. And thousands of small businesses operating in the red would get tax refunds under the economic recovery bill nearing completion in Congress. Businesses won't fare as well as they would have in earlier versions of the legislation, but most of the tax cuts are for families and individuals. They were preserved, they say. The tax breaks for low-income families with children, college students, first-time homebuyers, people who buy new autos, those collecting unemployment benefits. The Obama administration says 95% of taxpayers will get some kind of relief, and sales at U.S. retailers unexpectedly halted a record slide, six-month slide. In January, they went up 1%, so people are a little happy about that. Gerald Celente with us now, Trends Research. Gerald, $13 a week in paychecks for most families. What do you think about that?
Oh, yeah. That's going to help a lot. I mean, you know, all you have to do, George, is look at what the Congressional Budget Office says about the stimulus package, and they say it's going to do nothing in the long run and just a little boost in the short run. And this is the CBO, a nonpartisan group that takes into account the facts. And we heard President Obama say at Caterpillar yesterday, announcing the stimulus program, that he said, quote, this company will be able to rehire some of the folks who were just laid off. And then after he left, the president of Caterpillar said that's really not accurate at all, and that maybe in the long term there'll be a little hiring. This stimulus package will do nothing, just as the TARP program did nothing, and come March, we're going to see the big meltdown start to happen.
And he said there'd be, that president of Caterpillar said there may be some hiring back, but after more layoffs.
Exactly. It's going to do very little or nothing. It's really going to help to keep a lot of the states afloat, actually, that are in such dire problems. And all you have to do is look at how Wall Street has responded, not only to the stimulus package and Treasury Secretary Geithner's proposal. It went down 4% the other day. And in January, it was the worst January stock market in history. So that's the kind of confidence that the financial markets have in these programs.
Next time, Gerald Celente, thank you so much. Gerald's website, trendsresearch.com. You know that story we've been following of a very sad story of a commuter plane crashing into a home in suburban Buffalo. Our affiliate in the Buffalo area, of course, the big station WBEN on the line with us now, Tom Puckett, reporter there. Tom, what can you tell us about this situation?
George, we first learned about this at approximately 10:20 last evening, Eastern Time. A plane had crashed into a house in one of the residential areas of Clarence, one of the northern suburbs of Buffalo. We just spoke with Douglas Harkmeyer, a spokesman for the Niagara Frontier Transportation Authority, who tells us that the plane just simply fell off the radar. No sign of any trouble, no maydays, anything of that nature. 48 people on the plane, 44 passengers, 4 crew confirmed dead. One person on the ground confirmed dead. What is not confirmed about that, George, is whether that was a person who was living in the house that the plane struck. The plane hit a ball of when the plane hit, there was a ball of fire, a series of explosions, according to witnesses who called our newsroom. It has been a very tragic scene for the last going on 3 hours now.
Tom, what are the weather conditions out there?
Well, the weather conditions are a little bit of, I would say, a mix of sleet and light snow. And that's been that way for most of the evening hours. As you know, we've had some warm weather here. It's started to become more seasonable, if you will. And we've had some precipitation, and I would say light snow, maybe a little bit of freezing rain or sleet. Not sure the best way to accurately describe it, but weather might be considered a factor in this, considering those conditions.
All right, Tom, thank you so much, and thank everybody else in the WBEN newsroom for me. You've been a great affiliate of ours for so many years.
Well, thank you very much, George. I'll be sure to send the message.
It's Tom Puckett, reporter at WBEN in Buffalo. Again, we're tracking the story, tragedy here of the commuter plane crash near Buffalo, New York. Scientists are studying the DNA of Neanderthals, saying that they found no evidence that this ancient species ever interbred with modern humans. Our closest ancestors, though, they say, may have been able to speak just like us. According to a professor, he says they had everything in their bodies to give them the ability to speak just like human beings. That would have been something, huh? And a man in New Zealand who nearly cut off his hand with a bandsaw had earlier almost cut off the same arm in another accident. The amazing coincidence made it very difficult for surgeons to reattach Brian Spears' partially severed hand. It took them 13 hours, and they did finally reattach it. But they were just mortified by the fact that years ago he had almost cut off his same limb. We've got open lines for you this hour as we are changing our programming because of this tragedy in Buffalo. Here are the phone numbers for you. West of the Rockies, 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. First-time caller line is 818-501-4721. The wild card line is 818-501-4109. And a special topic line, those of you in that greater Buffalo area, if you may have seen anything, if you heard anything, I'm going to leave this line open for you this hour. This one is 818-817-0021. Okay, we're going to have open lines for you this hour, that special topic line, those of you who may live in the greater Buffalo area that you might want to be able to provide additional information to us on this tragic plane crash, 818-817-0021. We're changing guests for the full program, by the way. Next hour, Ed Grimsley joins us for a full program. His work is on UFO wars. Fascinating story with Ed Grimsley. I met Ed a couple months ago at a conference on the West Coast, and he just... it was riveting to talk to, and he took me upstairs, and we looked at, through his night vision goggles, some UFOs up there. First time I had ever seen them, I saw two of them. So we'll be talking with Ed about that when he comes on the program. The other guest that we had, we are moving. It is just not appropriate to have him on the show tonight in light of this plane crash. Let's go to the phones. Let's go west of the Rockies. Blair in Sedona, Arizona. Hey, Blair, how are you?
Well, I listened to your interview with John Hogue, George, a couple of nights ago in his assessment of the Middle East.
Yes.
And my opinion, I want to get your take on this,
sure,
is that Mr. Cheney and Rumsfeld did their job putting 14 permanent military bases in Iraq before what? In a pending attack upon Iran, and we'll have a U.S. buffer? Is You get that too?
Look, the plan, I think, always was to have some kind of foothold in the Middle East using Iraq as a base. Problem now is I don't think the Iraqis want us there anymore. You know, I think they want us out. No question, they were tired of Saddam Hussein. They were afraid of him. But you know what? It's time for us to pack up and do our thing.
Yeah, I saw one of those documentaries on the private military contractors over there. I mean, my God, they're not accountable to anybody. I remember on C-SPAN in 2003, Representative McDermott of Washington State said Congress can't do any oversight functions on any kind of contract to military contractors if it's under $50 million. I wonder if that's still in play now.
Yeah, good point. Thanks, Blair. Let's go to Buffalo. Ken is there for us. Hi, Ken.
Yes, hi. How are you, George?
Good, good. Can you shed anything more on this crash?
Well, not really. I mean, I heard when you were speaking with the fellow out of Buffalo with
Tom,
the weather.
Yeah.
Yes, with the weather. I mean, Buffalo flat out nasty. I mean, I run Ohio to Buffalo every day or every night, and I had just left Buffalo about 9 o'clock tonight, and I'm running down the road heading to Ohio, and I hear a plane went down in the suburb of Buffalo, and it wouldn't tell where it was at the time, and I'm sitting on the edge of my seat holding onto the steering wheel. Hoping it wasn't my house.
Yeah.
You know, I've got a wife and a newborn and a 17-year-old daughter. And but I heard the weather guy say, or the guy out of Buffalo saying that the weather, you know, it was a little mix of rain, but it's very, very windy.
And this is a small plane. I flew into town just this weekend back to Los Angeles. I was gone for the weekend. And I got to tell you, it was horrible. Worst turbulence I've ever had, and that was in a pretty good-sized plane. So you can imagine these small commuter planes.
Right. I mean, it's devastating because I know right where Clarence is. I mean, it's not that far from my house. And, yeah, I mean, that's devastating. You figure they're guessing, you know, 48 people confirmed dead.
Yeah.
I mean, that's bad.
As tragic as it is for the poor people in that plane and the horror, I could just imagine that. Can you imagine being in your house and you get hit by a plane?
Right, exactly.
And
that's what scared me so bad is, you know, that hits close to home. And like I said, I'm holding onto the steering wheel, sitting on the edge of the seat, waiting for them to say where this is,
yeah,
where this is.
I can understand.
And then when they finally mentioned it. The only other thing I did want to mention to you real quick, if I could.
Sure.
Last night you had Alex Jones on,
mm-hmm.
And he would mention something about some of the states
yes.
going, like a sovereign nation.
Right.
And I was curious, how would I find out about that?
As a matter of fact, you just listen to the show Monday night because I've got Alex coming back for a full program.
Okay.
All right?
All right. Well, it was an honor to speak with you, and I will let you go.
Okay. Let's go to Sam in St. Louis. You're up with us. Hey, Sam, how are you?
Great. How are you doing today?
Good, Sam.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about I had a shadow person experience.
What happened? Where?
This was about... I want to say I was about 17, so about 10 years ago, and I was with some friends in a park up in Downers Grove, Illinois.
Yep, know it well.
And we were sitting up there, and we're sitting on the park hanging out, and all of a sudden my buddy says, hey, look at your car. Who's over there? And I'm like, I don't know. There's this thing jumping around the car. I yell at it, hey, what the heck you doing? And all of a sudden, it starts coming down the path down to where the park is. And there's these trees, like, they're on each side of the path,
mm-hmm.
like, zigzagged and all that. And the thing starts jumping behind one, peeks around, then it jumps to the next one on the other side, peeks around and zigzags, stops about 3 feet from us, and it just peered around the corner of the last tree. And, you know, my friends are like, oh, my God, what is that? I'm laughing. And the next thing you know, it takes off running, jumps in the air, and disappears.
All in the form of a shadow. They're out there, and they're real, and I think they're dimensional. Debbie in Denver, west of the Rockies. Hi, Debbie.
Hi, George. How are you?
I'm doing okay.
George, I'm going to call this a bizarre coincidence for want of a better definition.
All right, great. And you hold on to that thought because I want to get this straight from your mouth, Debbie, and we will come right back in just a moment. If you want to email me, that's george@coasttocoastam.com. So we got to find out what Debbie wants when we come right back. Boy, life is full of positive and negative, isn't it? Just a few weeks ago, this entire nation was just so excited about the miraculous plane crash landing in the Hudson River in New York, and 151 people, that includes the crew, were saved. Just incredible, incredible heroic work. And then tonight, this tragedy of this commuter airline crashing near Buffalo, where 49 people have died. It is truly amazing. I'm going to take a quick call before our network break and local break here. We go to Buffalo now. Tom, you live under the flight path, I understand.
Hi, George. How you doing?
Good, good. What can you tell us?
Well, just before I tell you, sorry to talk to you under these circumstances.
Oh, I understand.
I had hoped to talk to you under some better circumstances, but I'm on a thruway every night, and about 10 after 10, I saw the skylight up to my left as I just got on the thruway. And my apartments are right over the flight path. There's two flight paths that come into Buffalo. Depends on what time of day they use one or they use the other. So tonight they were using the one that comes out of the northeast. And I saw the skylight up. I didn't think nothing of it until I started hearing on the radio what happened.
Was it pretty windy out your way, Tom?
Yeah, wind gusts right now are about, when I left Buffalo, I'm down in Syracuse now, but when I left Buffalo, they were about 30, 35 miles an hour. What they did say was the reports I heard from some people I called, they said that they had some landing gear problems, or they had problems with the plane mechanically, but it just went off the radar.
Yeah.
And where they actually hit was less than a quarter of a mile from where I live. And because Clarence is a suburb up there, a lot of homes in the country. And then I live right in Williamsville. And then less than a mile from where the plane crashed is the runway. So they were coming down, and I'm sure their landing gear was down, because when it gets over the top of my apartments, you can see the bottom of the plane and yeah. their landing gear every day.
To somebody who, like me, Tom, who flies so often now, you can only imagine what it was like for those folks in that plane.
Oh, they probably didn't know what hit them if they hit a house.
Yeah,
but
they knew they were going down.
Well, they were low enough coming in. I mean, I don't know, because they're so low when they come in anyways.
Oh, are they?
Right there,
okay.
That maybe the guy was trying to make the runway or something.
Yeah,
Who knows?
That's true. We'll say a prayer for him. Tom, thank you for the call. We'll do that. And you call us on another time, and we'll talk about some more favorable things. Debbie, we'll be back with you in just a moment in your story on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, now we go back to Denver, Colorado. Debbie, thanks for holding. Now you can tell us your story.
Well, you know, it almost seems frivolous in the wake of what's going on in New York.
I know.
But my call went through, so I'll tell my story anyway.
Okay, go ahead.
A friend had given me a home security tip, and it's actually a very good tip. When you go to bed at night, if you will leave your car fob, you know, that unlocks your doors and stuff, but on your bedside table, and then if you hear somebody messing around outside, you hit the panic button.
Uh-huh.
And the alarm goes off. And isn't that a clever idea?
It's a great idea.
Yeah. And, you know, for whatever reason, my mind just sort of slipped to that email that I had gotten, and I was thinking about it. And, George, every car alarm on the block went off.
What do you mean, every car alarm? When you hit your button?
I didn't hit my button. I was only thinking about...
That's weird.
Isn't that bizarre?
You've got too much power, Debbie.
Well, I don't know what it is.
That is strange. Did your car alarm go off, too?
No.
All right. You've got some kind of mystical thing going on here.
Some kind of weird mojo.
My gosh.
So that's my story.
All right.
Can I say hi to my friend Susan?
How can I say no to you?
God bless you, George.
Say hi.
Hi, Susan, and don't call me. I'm going to sleep now.
All right. Thanks, Deb. Let's go to Buffalo again. Rich, you're on the line with us. You've got some information. Hi, Rich.
Hey, George. How are you doing?
Good. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, hey, I mean, I hate to, actually, there's so many other things I'd rather be talking to you about tonight. I actually did my PhD in religious studies, and so a lot of what you talk about is interesting to me, but I'm calling tonight because I live in Erie, Pennsylvania, and I'm really shaken by this information because literally I was on the Continental flight from Buffalo to Newark, in Newark back to Buffalo. I flew back on Sunday of this week, and I was on the type of plane that they're describing, and living in Erie, just about an hour down the road from Buffalo, I know the type of weather we have today. I mean, just walking on campus today, we were all literally being blown about. But, you know, I can't help but I haven't been able to sleep tonight. When I heard you talking about this, I'm so appreciative, because that flight, just to let listeners know what that's like, it is about flying time about an hour, depending when you get off the ground and down. But even on Sunday, when I was literally on that flight, the wind that comes off of once you get closer to Lake Erie, because the lake effect weather is just, you know, unbelievable. You never know what you're going to get. Yesterday it was 65. Today it's 30 with snow, and I can't even tell you the wind gust. I know I've heard people say 30, but it felt a lot stronger than that. I'm from Iowa, and I know, you know, wind shears, and it felt a lot stronger than that. And the plane that I took, you know, is the same plane they described, and we were bumpy coming in the whole way. And those types of bumps, you know, you talked about, you were on a turbulent flight too. Yeah. I think we've all had those experiences, but when you're coming into a Great Lake area, it's just really bad. And I appreciate you taking the time to talk about it, because, like you, I'm literally tonight imagining literally that flight in my head, literally the plane. You know, they say 48 people were on it. I know what that's like to be on a plane that's not even fully, you know, loaded.
Oh, you know what it's like. Now, is this the kind of plane, Rich, that has one seat and then two, or is it one?
You know, if it's the propeller plane, then it's a 2-2. And actually, you know, it sounds so strange to be talking about these things, but when I got on, it had been so long since I'd been on a propeller plane. You know, the thing that I'm remembering is, you know, I thought, oh, I have this headroom on it, and I actually thought to myself, as I kind of hate to say this, but with what happened at the Hudson, because I was going into the New York area, I thought, well, thank God I'm on a propeller plane, you know, because it's not a jet to suck in any debris like that.
Sure.
So I thought to myself, you know, sometimes older technology might be better. But then I hear about this tonight, and I just know exactly what it's like. And there's just a part of me that just felt like I wanted to talk about it and say, I know that flight. I literally was on that flight. Know what it's like to fly into the area. And just, you know, prayers and thoughts go out to those who were on it, as well as to those who are still wondering about those tonight on that plane.
Good. Thank you, Rich.
Yeah, thank you.
It is truly amazing the way life is with the euphoria on that one event, which I just told you about, landing in the Hudson and everyone saved, and then this one as well. This reminds me of the old movie, The Memphis Belle, which was a World War II movie, one of the greatest movies, if you're into those, that I've ever seen. And he was in one of these planes, and they were shooting down the enemy, and he's sitting in where the gun section is in this bubble, and he was inexperienced, and he was shooting this gun in the plane at the enemy planes coming at him, and he hit one. And he was all excited, and he's jumping for joy, and you could see the enemy plane crashing. And so this moment of euphoria is completely negated, taken away, because that plane that he shot down hit another American plane full of American soldiers in this movie, and it severed the plane in half, and that went down. And you could just see the horror on his face. But that's a little like life is. You know, you have this incredible moment, and then it's taken away. And I wonder why things happen like that. Let's go to Rob in Washington, state of. You are on Coast to Coast. Hi, Rob.
Hey, how are you doing tonight, George?
Okay, considering, I guess.
I know. My thoughts are going out to those people. I lost a couple people in 9/11, actually.
You know, my mother's sister's brother-in-law. So if you can imagine that, okay? So no blood relative of mine, but my mother's sister's brother-in-law, the brother of my mother's sister's husband, he died in one of the Boston flights to New York that hit one of the towers.
Oh, my God.
Douglas?
Yeah, these
Douglas
were ground guys. These were firemen.
Yeah.
No loss in that. They weren't in the plane. They were in the aftermath of it. But just, my thoughts go out to all of them.
Thank you.
So, yeah, at least this is trivial at this point. I was cruising the YouTube last night,
because
I check up on John Titter from time to time.
Sure.
See if there's anything new.
And, the time traveler.
Yeah, the time travel zero, I guess. And just see if there's anything new or anybody's posting new videos. and I found a new website, John Titor Hoax Exposed.
Oh, really?
And it says tomorrow at 1 o'clock, this guy, I have no idea what his name is, just flyingunknown.blogspot.com, says tomorrow at 1, he's going to expose the entire hoax.
All right, we've got to look that up, Tom. We've got to check into that tomorrow.
It has a little ticker going. It has a 14-hour. It's kind of a strange ticker.
We'll get Oliver, who's been monitoring the John Titor website, and get his reaction to this, and maybe we'll get the guy who exposes.
Yeah, I mean, there's no name of the guy on here at all. It's just flyingunknown.blogspot.com, and I guess he posted it a couple weeks ago first.
All right.
Well, 14 and a half pages of... And it says 14 and a half pages and 2 YouTube videos exposing everything.
Okay, we're going to see that. Well, maybe it's real, maybe it's not, but we'll find out. Thanks. Next up, let's go to Alexis in Hollywood, California. You are on Coast to Coast. Hi, Alexis.
Hi.
Hi, welcome to the show. What's up?
Is this George?
It sure is.
Oh, that was fast. A couple things. Many blessings to everyone involved in the plane crash, especially I was thinking about all those people waiting for their loved ones.
Oh, yeah.
I just couldn't even imagine. But I had a really cool out-of-body experience that I wanted to tell you about.
Okay.
And I also was wondering, is it true that you don't have a date for the Conscious Life Expo?
Who told you that?
You did.
I go to these things. I always go to them by myself, with a producer. I don't consider Tom my date.
Yeah. Well, you're like I am. I walk alone.
It's Valentine's Day. It's kind of sad, Alexis.
I'll be your date if you need one. Ask Tom. He knows I'm cute. Anyway.
How does Tom know you? Well, we'll get into that.
Later.
He's shaking his head saying, I don't know her.
Yeah.
All right.
Send him my book.
But go. Oh, you sent him a book.
Yeah. Anyway.
He's so baffled. He's also turning pink.
So anyway, I was living in Santa Monica.
Okay.
I went to sleep, and then all of a sudden I found myself like hovering over my bedroom window. And I thought it was a dream at first because it was all blue outside. And I remember one of your callers one of your guests on a couple weeks ago was talking about a blue astral plane room,
yes,
or something.
Yes.
So I found that interesting because I just kept saying, you know, it was sunrise just before dawn, and it was just blue outside. But then I thought about it. It's never been that blue outside. But anyway, so I saw this guy like wandering through the bushes near my window. And the next thing you know, I just woke up and sat straight up in my bed. And my eyes were open, and I'm looking around my room, and my dogs were asleep. And so I thought, you know, that must have been a dream. And right when I went to relax, I heard someone trying to open my window.
Oh.
And I have a friend that used to yell out the windows all the time. You know, you have a few seconds to get away from our house. She was taking some bad drug, lost a long time ago. So it was my first thought. And when I wake up, I have this really deep voice. So I said, you know, you have 10 seconds to get the F away from my window. And I just heard the shuffling through the bushes. And I looked out the window, and there's a guy that I saw when I was hovering.
That's freaky.
Yeah.
That's freaky. And I know Tom was probably working then, so it's not him.
Okay. Okay.
All right. Well, take care. Take care. Good luck at the expo. Next up, let's go to Anonymous in Kentucky on the wild card line. Hello, Anonymous.
Hey, George. I know Anonymous sounds a little melodramatic, but my boss might be listening, and I don't want to think that I'm off.
You know, I don't blame you. You know what? And there's not enough jobs to go around, so go for it.
Basically, I work a little off of downtown in Louisville, Kentucky. I'm a security guard, and I can see the river from where I'm sitting. And we've got a series of locks where they bring the barges up and down to go past the Falls of the Ohio. Well, that whole area is run by the Army Corps of Engineers. I've never been a real big believer in the black helicopter stuff because I always figure it's just, you know, they're practicing, they're doing maneuvers,
yeah,
you know, whatever they're doing. But tonight I saw two helicopters with just their running lights start circling the lock area, and they circled for about a half hour. Then an Apache, I think it was an Apache, it was running dark, so I couldn't see exactly what it was, but
right,
I could see the gun mounts in the front. So I'm thinking it was an Apache. It's got one escort with active running lights, but it's running dark. It comes down and lands, stays on the ground, never powers down, just stays on the ground on that island out there for about 30 seconds, maybe a minute, then takes off again. Then about a minute later, another, I'm not sure what type of helicopter this was. It was a smaller one, but it comes down. It's got three escorts with it. The one without the running lights lands, and then one of the other ones with running lights lands. The other two circle for a moment while it takes, you know, its time down there. And then 30 seconds or so later, they take off again. All of them head, I think, about west, about southwest.
What do you think was going on?
I don't know, but the weird, at first I thought maybe it was just a training exercise, but then I see taillights driving away from the canal opening down toward the lock area. And I'm just wondering what kind of VIP gets dropped off at 12 midnight.
Yeah, exactly.
It struck me as odd, and there was no barge traffic up until about maybe 15 minutes ago.
Wonder what was in the water that they might have been trying to...
That's the thing. They didn't go anywhere near the water. They they actually landed on that little island. There's a little island where it actually splits.
I see.
Where they come in one direction and out the other for going up and down where they lower and raise the locks. But there was no barge traffic, and it just struck me as really odd. It might have just been some kind of training maneuver, but I was just mystified by it. It was amazing to see regardless.
Sometimes you never know, but let me tell you, those black helicopters are real. I don't know exactly what they're doing, but they're real. About a minute or so left for you, Angelica, in Albany, New York. Hi there.
Hi, how are you?
Good. So I might have to cut you short, so I'll let you run with it right now.
Okay, just real quick, I wanted to say I just started listening to your show 3 days ago because my mom told me to, and I'm hooked. But anyway, my story, I feel kind of silly saying it, but a few days ago, my friends and I were walking back to my apartment, mm-hmm. and across the street from my apartment is a nanoscience research building, and there were these men unloading this huge truck, and it was 3:30 in the morning. They were unloading these huge black duffel bags, and these duffel bags were shaking and moving, and whatever was inside of them was trying to get out, and I saw a finger reaching up out of one of the duffel bags. I was with my friends, they saw it too, but I don't know what was going on, but I'm a little worried.
What did the finger look like?
It was long, it was green, and I know that sounds cliche for, you know, a lot of times people say that's what aliens look like.
Green?
That's what I saw. Mm-hmm.
This is an incredible story, Angelica.
Yes. And I'm no professional investigator or anything. I'm just a college student, but that's what I saw.
And how many do you think they were taking in there?
I'm not sure, but there were dozens of these duffel bags, and they could fit bodies in them. They were really big.
And these things are scrambling all over the place. They wanted out, whatever
scrambling.
Was in there.
Yep, scrambling around.
All right. Well, next year, keep following that for me. Try to bring a camera next time. I'd love to see if you can get a picture for us. You never know. I mean, if you get that close and you can see fingers sticking out of these bags, you never know. Bring a camera next time. I'll be back in a moment as we're moving on with UFO Wars and Mr. Ed Grimsley next on Coast to Coast AM.